Welcome to another edition of the Encouragement 511 podcast. My name is Al Argo. I'm your host on this podcast, where our only goal is simply to encourage you, to build you up, to equip you, to encourage others. I'm joined today by special guest Mark Joseph, aka Gramps Jeffrey, author of the children's book, I Don't Want to Turn Three. Mark Joseph is also author of the business book, The Secrets of Retailing, How to Beat Walmart. You can check out both of those books on Amazon. Mark Joseph is also co-founder of babyboomer.org. Check out that website if you qualify as a boomer. And welcome, Mark, to the Encouragement 511 podcast.
Hey, I appreciate inviting me. Thank you so much.
How's your weather out in Arizona today?
Well, we're actually expecting rain today, which is unusual for us. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you know, the only time I've ever been in your great state, it is hotter than Alabama. It's hotter than Florida. It's hotter than the Philippines. And so a lot of retirees flock to your area from Canada and the North. Is that right?
Well, don't forget, it's a dry heat. So when we get to 100 here, it's not like 100 where you are.
Well,
it's not too bad.
You're right.
You get used to it. You know, you get used to the summers. You know, you got 3 months where it's hot. So you just jump in the pool or stay in the air conditioning. You know, Arizona wouldn't be here if it wasn't for air conditioning. So, you know, we take advantage of it.
Well, I need to visit the state more. I haven't been out a lot, but again, when I've been out, it's really, really been hot. And of course, now you are a grandpa, your granddad, and your pen name is Gramps Jeffrey, and your children's book is I Don't Want to Turn Three. And I love children's books. I've got 4 children's books out as well. When I wrote my kids' books, I thought about using a pen name. If I had used a pen name, my pen name would have been Mr. Lyman Pill, because I love lemons so much. But I like your nickname. Now, do your grandchildren call you Gramps Jeffrey?
Yes. In other words, the reason I picked this name is I learned early on these little kids can say the G's. So they could see Gramps pretty fast.
Nice.
And my middle name happened to be Jeffrey. And my wife, ever since we've been married, has not been able to spell it correctly. So I figured that if I put it on a book, she'll learn how to spell my name.
I like
it. That's it. So, you know, the book is I Don't Want to Turn Three. Mm-hmm. And my Gramps Jeffrey. And, you know, the book, it's a true story. It actually happened. And all the pictures that I took, and then I sent it to the illustrator, and she made them into the cartoon kind of look that it has today.
I love it. And again, you know, the best children's books are true stories. I say that. My first children's book was Chris Gets the Hiccups, and it's also a true story. Tell me about what prompted you to write I Don't Want to Turn Three.
Well, you know, last year or so, living in the middle of this pandemic, because caused by COVID-19. In isolation, except for being able to be with my family, kind of gave me a special time to watch and interact with these grandkids. And I got to tell you what a trip that was, because all 6 of these kids have completely different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that they do have in common is a sense of curiosity and how excited they get when they do accomplish something. Watching them grow year to year and how they interact with each other is really the basis for this book. You know, what goes through a toddler's mind, the parents are so desperate to understand. You know, when does a toddler really understand the difference between me and us? You know, this book kind of explores how a family finds that out together. You know, as a baby boomer myself, trying to understand how the world has evolved since I was 3 years old is also part of this story. You know, my parents didn't have cell phones. You know, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have cable TV. They didn't have the remotes. I was my dad's remote. He says, son, go change the channel. You know, that's how I grew up. You know, my parents' definition of discipline is completely different than what discipline is today.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'll let your listeners kind of answer the question, is it better growing up today than when we were kids? You know, it's all part of this book and how we all find out together.
And so our listeners can find your book on Amazon. And why don't you introduce your website as well, where they can go directly to your website?
They can go right to GrampsJeffrey.com. So you can buy it on Amazon, go to GrampsJeffrey.com or IDon'tWantToTurn3.com. It's also available there.
Very nice. So I'd encourage our listeners to check out the book by Mark Joseph. Check out his business book as well. Tell us a little bit about your business book. And again, it sounds fascinating. The Secrets of Retailing, How to Beat Walmart.
That's it. The Secrets of Retailing, How to Beat Walmart. This came out of, throughout my career, I've been in major department stores and discount stores and I've been in corporate America. But I decided later on in my career, I wanted to become an entrepreneur. So I've started a couple businesses. One of the businesses I sold to investors, and the other business I took public. And the company that I took public, we became the premier business-to-business site on the internet where we sold in case quantity to small businesses all around the world, shipped into all 50 states, around 44 countries. Our customer base were the moms and the pops who survived and thrived against the chains. Mm-hmm. So as I was building the site and building this business, I was getting all these calls from customers. How do I do this? What do I need to do that? I said, well, I'll write a book. So the Secrets of Retailing, How to Beat Walmart is 15 chapters. And each chapter addresses what you need to do to run a business. It's a chapter on how do you hire people? How do you find your location? You know, how do you market online? How do you market traditionally? And where do you find your products? How do you negotiate? And the last chapter is the exit strategy. How do you get out of your business? So that's what that book is all about. It's for entrepreneurs and small business owners just to help enhance how they are growing their businesses.
It sounds fascinating. What's one or two practical lessons? We're going to go back to our parents and grandparents and talk more about the children's book in just a minute. But we've got listeners from around the world, from Philippines, China, Nepal, Europe, Australia, business owners, parents, just different, different blend of listeners who tune in looking for encouragement. What's one or two practical business ideas that you can speak into, if you can just speak into the life of a small business owner, for instance, in Malaysia, because business in Malaysia is very similar, but a little different than business in America. But business is business around the world. Would you like to speak into the life of that small business owner outside America?
Absolutely. Well, keep in mind that 50% of small businesses fail in their first 5 years. Mm. Okay. That's a scary number. That means that all of us who want to go into business for ourselves, one out of two of us are going to fail. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think if we talk about what causes the failing of these businesses, it really talks about what we need to do to make sure we don't fail. Mm-hmm. You know, the 42% of businesses fail because they don't have the right product or service for what they're going after. So, you know, I learned this early on when I was a buyer for the major chains is you have to buy not for what you like. Mm-hmm. You have to buy for what your customers like.
That's right.
Now, you may think that you got the greatest items in sliced bread, but if nobody else likes it, you're going to fail. Mm-hmm. So the first piece of advice is make sure that when you start a business, that products that you decide you're going to sell or the services that you're going to have are in demand. Okay? That's the first thing you got to do. The second thing, you know, is why businesses fail is, you know, 30% of them fail because they don't have enough cash. They run out of money. Mm-hmm. If you decide that you're going to run a business today, make sure if you're opening a business that you have enough cash to last you for 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you get that cash from friends, from relatives, you know, somehow you saved it. Make sure you have to plan on not having sales for 6 months because, you know, that's the second biggest reason why businesses fail. They run out of money. You just can't finance it. And the third reason, and probably the most important reason, then 25% of businesses fail because of this, is because you don't have great teamwork and communications within your organization. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned early on, you have to hire people that are smarter than you are in areas that you're, taking me, for example, I don't like accounting. You know, if you stick me in a room with spreadsheets for 8 hours, I will go absolutely nuts. So I had to find someone who enjoys accounting, who loves that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't draw a straight line. So running an internet site, I had to find people that were artistic and things like that. So you need to surround yourself. You need to, first of all, realize what your weaknesses are and admit it. It's very hard to admit it, but you got to be able to admit it. And then once you do that, make sure you surround yourself with people that are smarter than you to get these things done.
Very good. I'm talking today with Mark Joseph, aka Gramps Jeffrey, author of the book, I Don't Want to Turn Three, your children's book for your children, your grandchildren. And again, we are also talking about his business book, The Secrets of Retailing, How to Beat Walmart. I'd encourage you to check out both of these books, either on his website or directly from Amazon. And let's go back to the children's book, I Don't Want to Turn Three. Here on the Encouragement 511 podcast, every week we have an encouraging word of the week. So our word this week, our encouraging word of the week is simply the word involvement. Now, the dictionary defines involvement as the state of being concerned in some affair or situation. And so when I think about that word involvement, it can be for parents. It can be for grandparents with their family, with their children, their grandchildren, but it also can be in relation to, if I'm the CEO, I have to be involved in that company. I believe Peter Drucker called it management by walk around. And so whether we're the CEO or the chief marketing officer or the web designer, we have to be involved in the business. And as parents and grandparents, we also have to be involved in the lives of our children and grandchildren. Speak to that word involvement.
I'm going to speak of the opposite. Uninvolvement, right? You know, because the scary thing is, and I'm going to be talking from a baby boomer's perspective and from a grandparent's perspective, is too many grandparents just don't get involved. You know, 30% of today's grandparents are considered remote, which means, they're just not involved in their kids. They may show up for a birthday party or they may come at Christmas, but that's all they are. You know, these 30%, when you think about it, that's one out of every three of us. That's like, you look to your left, you look to your right. One of you are not involved in raising these kids today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's caused by several things. One of the things is we as grandparents are the ones who cause it. So, you know, for instance, you know, we may not like the spouse our child marries. Okay, well, that causes an issue. You know, that our kids aren't going to want us to get involved. You know, we may be giving unsolicited advice to our children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that goes over for not so well in most families. And, you know, because they figure, oh, you raised me to be the parent. Let me be the parent. You know, we may drop by somebody's house without telling we're coming. Mm-hmm. You know, so all these things are things that cause us, you know, as grandparents to not be involved. Going back to one out of every three of us just are not involved. Mm-hmm. You know, undermining a parent's authority by challenging what a parent is teaching their children causes this. Mm-hmm. You know, grandparents question the parents' values, the family structure. That causes us to be not involved in these kids being raised. Mm-hmm. You know, tendency to play favorites. You know, I've got six grandkids. I have a favorite, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you got to keep that within yourself. Mm-hmm. You can't do that when you're in a family or manipulating the siblings. Mm-hmm. We try to transact to keep the kids happy by giving them money, gifts, vacations. That causes rift within a family. Mm-hmm. You know, we have an overall lack of empathy as we're growing older. These kids need empathy. Mm-hmm. That causes an issue. Grandparents sometimes demand grandchildren comply and respect them. That causes an issue. So there's lots of things that cause issues because the grandparents become uninvolved. Mm-hmm. So let's turn that around and figure out how to get them involved.
Well, let's go back to this whole issue of remote grandparenting, because again, to be honest, yeah, I spend a lot of my time overseas in Southeast Asia, from Singapore, Philippines, Nepal, China. And so my kids are now based in the US. And so you yourself, your children, not only are your grandchildren, you know, you've got a couple out near you in Arizona, but I believe you also have a couple in Texas and then maybe a couple more down in Florida. So even you and I have this aspect of being a remote parent and remote grandparent. How can we in this generation, you know, at some point we might have to be a remote parent or grandparent. How can we do that even better?
Well, you know, you're right. When I was growing up, my uncle lived up the street. My grandmother lived two blocks together and we were just all together. But in today's world, like you said, I've got two that are in Texas and two in Florida. And so the question becomes, how do you keep in contact with them? Because these little 2, 3, 4 year olds, they're not going to pick up the phone and call you. You've got to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, let me share with you what we did, and I'm sure your listeners may have other ideas on how to do this. But so, you know, I had all six of these kids in my house for about 6 weeks, and they really got to know our house and know us and so forth. Mm-hmm. And it happens that for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 year olds, the one common language that they all have are dinosaurs. Mm. They just love dinosaurs. You know, my little 2 and 3 year olds, they can tell me these long names of these dinosaurs, and they can tell me who their friends are and who they what they eat, meat or vegetarians. Yeah, I know dinosaurs are small, medium, and large, but they know all these things. Mm-hmm. We take them to a playground. They meet other kids. They immediately talk about dinosaurs. So dinosaurs happens to be the common language of these little kids. So we decided that when they all left our house, that we were going to take the six dinosaurs we had in our house, mm-hmm. and we were going to put them in different places every day so that they could relate to this. So like, for instance, one night they were in the refrigerator eating blueberries out of the refrigerator. Another night they were by the sink with grandma washing dishes with soap on their noses. Another night they were playing the piano. Another night they were walking up the steps. So we came up with 50 different events inside and outside the house that these dinosaurs would become. So what happened is, we were able to become part of their routine. Their mom and dad would give them their bath. They would read them a book. And then they would say to mom and dad, what are the dinosaurs doing tonight? And so they would get on my wife's iPhone. They would get on FaceTime and say, where's Gramps? Where's Gramps? What are the dinosaurs doing tonight? So that gave us a way to stay in touch. I'm sure your listeners can come up with other ideas too, because you've got to reach out to them when they're that age.
I love it. And I want to hear from our listeners. And so listeners, if you have an idea of how you have stayed engaged with your children, your grandchildren remotely or in the same house, email us directly. Just email us at podcast@encouragement511.com. We really want to hear from you. We value your feedback. We value your interaction with us. And any comments that come in through this episode, I will forward them directly to our guests. And again, our guest today is Mark Joseph, aka Gramps Jeffrey, author of the children's book, I Don't Want to Turn Three, and also author of the business book, The Secrets of Retailing, How to Beat Walmart. And again, both of these books would be great, not only for our listeners in the U.S. and Canada and Mexico, but also in the Philippines, Malaysia, Vietnam, Nepal, wherever you are in the world, check out these books. Amazon and websites has made the world very, very flat. And we also always have an encouraging quote of the week here on the Encouragement 511 podcast. And our quote this week is from our very own guest this week, Mark Joseph. Mark, you're becoming known for this quote. You say, it is necessary to teach children how to think, not what to think. Talk to our listeners about what you mean by this encouraging quote.
Well, you think about it, the generation today, these kids that are 1 to 10 years old coming out today, will become the greatest generation this earth has ever produced. You know, as soon as they come out of the womb, they're on the internet. They know how, they're on the iPhone. They're electronically engaged. Shoot, I wasn't on the internet till I was 40 years old. These kids are coming out that way. So they are going to be just so much smarter than we are. And we, as parents and grandparents, we need to be able to offset all this great information they're learning with real life experiences. We're the ones that need to take them out to play soccer and to go out and into the be outside when they need to. And so we've got to offset these experiences. And the best way parents and grandparents can enhance what our children are learning today is to get them involved in reading books. And we need to do that at the very, very young age. There's all kinds of benefits for us to teach these kids how to read books so that when they're old enough to read themselves, they want to read books. Now, think about what the things that we will be teaching them by reading books. You know, picture me as a grandpa, and I've got a little kid sitting on my lap for 20 minutes reading a book together. You know, the first thing it does, it creates a bonding. You know, it's just a nice way for you to spend time together with a child, one-on-one, reading that book to talk with them. The second thing it does, begins to support listening skills because it requires them to listen. Now, you and I both realize that as we are growing older, that listening skills are the number one skill that we can have. I mean, you as a podcaster, you have to listen to what your guests are saying to ask the correct questions. I have to listen, you know, to customers and sales and marketing to understand how to build a business. So these listening skills, if we can teach these to these little kids as soon as they're able to sit on your lap and read, I mean, that's priceless. You know, another thing that why we have to teach and have our kids read and spend that time to read with them is it helps develop cognitive and language development. I mean, there are plenty of words in these books these kids don't understand. So it gives you a chance one-on-one to explain the words, to tell them, to teach them, you know, get them involved. I mean, there's plenty of these words in books I don't understand. I got to go look up. So, you know, it just gives you a chance to really share that cognitive and language development. And, you know, another reason is You know, these 2, 3, 4 year olds, they bounce off the wall all day long. You mm-hmm. get them in your lap. You get a chance to give some real attention span to them. It helps with key concentration and self-discipline. Mm-hmm. So we need to be able to be there and reading books with their kids mm-hmm. to develop all these skills.
You know, you can't go wrong by reading a book to a child. And even in the mother's womb, you know, research shows that singing to that child, playing classical music to that child during the 8 or 9, 10 months that the child in the womb, it goes a long way to their long-term cognitive development. And so when that baby comes out of the womb, then immediately, you know, research shows that they're drawn to that mother's voice or that father's voice or that type of music. And so even reading books before that baby's born would be something that I would encourage all of our listeners to think about. And again, if you are a grandparent, encourage your children. You know, again, unsolicited advice, more things are caught than taught. And we also have to be aware of our own attitudes and actions. And so if we do it to our children, then chances are our children are going to do it to our grandchildren in the future. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, and going back to the initial thought that you were talking about, it is necessary for us to teach children how to think, mm-hmm. not what to think. You know, and going back to why reading books is just so important mm-hmm. is we need to keep teaching kids how to think. So before you even, you know, open the book, the first question you should ask the children is, you know, what do you think is going to happen in this book? Let them start thinking. Then once you're reading the book through with them, you know, ask them, you know, who are the characters in this book? Mm-hmm. What is the setting of this book? Can they relate to it? Is it a mm-hmm. fantasy? Is it something that they can see at school? You know, what is it that they can do in the book? You know, does anything in this book sound familiar to you? Have you experienced anything like mm-hmm. what's mm-hmm. going on in the book? And then mm-hmm. what you do at the end of the book, much like you should be doing every night at dinner when you ask the kids how their day was, is what was your favorite part of this book? Why was it your favorite part? Mm-hmm. Again, teaching them to think. And this is just a vehicle for us to be able to do that.
And we not only need to teach and encourage our children how to think, we also need to teach our employees and fellow workers how to think as well. So can you speak to, again, as we're about to wrap up the podcast episode, can you speak to our listeners who, they may not have children, they may not have grandchildren, but they're tuned in today and they want a little bit more business advice. Can you speak to that listener in closing? And then we're going to speak to our grandparents and close out. But any other advice and encouragement for our business owners?
Well, you know, the title of the book is I Don't Want to Turn Three. And so the premise of the book is at what age do we begin to take responsibility for our actions? Mm. Is it 3 years old? Is it 13 years old? Is it 23 years old? You know, I got plenty of baby boomers that are 63 years old that are still not taking responsibility for their actions. So, you know, if you're a business owner, ask yourself that question. Are your employees taking responsibility for their actions? Mm-hmm. And if they are not, why? Mm-hmm. And what can you do as a business owner to encourage them to take responsibility for their actions?
And I love acronyms. And so I use my last name, ARGO, A-R-G-O, as an acronym for accept responsibility for your goals, growth, and outcomes, A-R-G-O. And it does go back to accepting responsibility, which is something that we're all learning. You know, I won't say that we've learned, because as soon as we, you know, the old proverb, pride comes before a fall, but we're all learning this lesson. And so and speak to our parents and grandparents who want to be more involved in their young grandchildren's lives. Speak to that parent or grandparent today.
You know, what are parents' responsibility in today's world? You know, obviously, this is a very cruel world. This is a very upsetting world. You know, there's lots of differences in ideas. There's all kinds of things. But we as parents and grandparents, you know, we're providing the food and we're doing the making sure they're safe and so forth. But we need to be making sure that we are teaching kids honesty, responsibility, mm-hmm. kindness, mm-hmm. independence. We want to teach them. They got to be able to live on their own, do on their own. Respect, you know, positive thinking, creativity, healthy eating and exercise. That starts at a young age. We got to make sure we're doing it with them. You know, and they also need to know that success can be learned from failure, much like business owners know that success can be learned from failure.
That's right.
You know, we got to teach them that. But the moral thing we got to teach them when they're a young age, how to have fun.
That's right.
We're only here for so many years. Mm-hmm. Make sure we're having fun.
Absolutely. I love that word. Just have fun. That phrase, just have fun. You know, when you're on a playground, there's going to come a time when you fall down and you skin your knee. It's going to hurt. So failure as a 4-year-old or as a 40-year-old, it hurts. But you always get up just one more time. You just keep going. You keep going. You keep going. You press in. You press on. You press through. And like you say, failure is not final. Failure is not fatal, whether that as a 4-year-old falling down, learning how to walk, or as a 12-year-old learning how to communicate in public for the first time, or as a 32-year-old entrepreneur, you know, starting that small business, or 26-year-old entrepreneur. Success isn't overnight, but we can have lifelong success and significance. There's an encouraging verse I want to leave our listeners with. It's Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. This ancient proverb says, train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so, again, whether that's playing or being productive or being honest or being responsible, we have to be involved in our children's and our grandchildren's lives and be a reader, as our guest has shared with us today. Be a reader. Read. And again, our guest today has been Mark Joseph, aka Gramps Jeffrey, author of I Don't Want to Turn 3. And you can check out this book on Amazon and also idontwanttoturn3.com. And tell our listeners some other ways that they can get in touch with you, sir.
Oh, you can come to my site, grampsjeffrey.com, or email me. I'd love to continue the conversation, grampsjeffrey@gmail.com.
And I'd also encourage you to check out babyboomer.org. We didn't really get to talk about that website. That's a great website full of content experts from America and soon around the world. You've got a lot of different books that you can choose from there, a lot of different content, a lot of resources for our baby boomers who are listening to the Encouragement 511 podcast today. Again, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us directly at podcast@encouragement511.com. Again, my name is Al Argo. I am the Positive Impact Coach and your host of this podcast. I look forward to connecting with you either by email or on the website or next week as we tune in again to another special guest. Make it a great, great week. Cheers and make a positive impact. Till next time.